Lexo took a crowded public hover shuttle to Zord's spa and bathhouse. His place of employment was a wonder of false sandstone, false marble, and false terracotta. The bathhouse had to survive multiple environmental shifts throughout the day, so every wall and bed and floor tile was made of artificial material that not only was hypoallergenic to over 200 sentient species, but could flex and breathe in any temperature and humidity. Lexo ducked into the hot, tight servant's closet to exchange his threadbare robe for a flowing white gown. It was sleeveless, with a high chest band and a long skirt whose elegant gathers drifted like feathers to the floor. He was not allowed to set foot inside the common areas of the spa without it. True relaxation starts with luxury and beauty, Zord always said. Next, Lexo donned his translator necklace, then a series of golden bracelets, which the spa advertised as being magnetic, and therefore able to detect biorhythms. The bracelets were useless, of course, but many of Zord's clientele were soothed by having a technological explanation for how wonderful they felt after one of Lexo's massages. He disciplined his features and rolled his shoulders. Lexo was now on, and the next 12 hours would be a flawless performance. He exited the servant's closet and descended the stair with quiet grace, gown flowing at his ankles. In anticipation of Big Stir Ghana's visit, the bathhouse was playing the counselor's favorite music, which Lexo loathed. Serenity Starscapes was predictable and twee, composed for creatures with limited frequency range. But he would never say so aloud. Lexo's first client was already lying face down on the table, waiting for him. Joris was a tall, bipedal creature who always kept her beautiful silver hair in perfect order. Lexo always felt you could tell a lot about a personality by the hair. Joris had no business being here. She couldn't possibly afford Zord's high-end services. She worked in currency exchange in the casino, but fancied herself a player, betting the Fathia races whenever she wasn't working in the hopes that she could give up her day job. And maybe she would be able to. Lexo hoped so. But instead, she seemed to spend whatever she won with him, a fate that seemed to satisfy her. Lexo had a lot of clients like her.
"It's nice to see you again, Joris," Lexo said.
"My shoulders need extra attention today," Joris said.
"Of course.
It's going to be my big night, Suga. Some good prospects on the track. I want to be ready."
"I can't wait to hear all about it at your next appointment."
Lexo let his hands drift up the being's spine, toward the base of her head. Thanks to the Corwindle and the injections, his fingers were nimble, his chemical receptors as sensitive as ever. Sure enough, he detected a large knot of lactic acid buildup in the left trapezius and set to work coaxing it out. It was stubborn, but Lexo was an artist. As he worked, Joris blathered freely about her recent decision to designate a new favorite viewing spot at the tracks and her picks for tonight's Fathia races. Lexo didn't mind the talking. He just made affirming noises at appropriate intervals and occasionally said things like, "Good point," or,
"You are very wise."
Lexo always ignored what he heard, what he saw, and never got involved, not for any reason. He'd seen plenty of others get involved in order to improve their lot in life. And sure, they would make connections, earn some side money, maybe even maneuver themselves into better working conditions. But there was always a cost. Always. So Lexo had decided to remain neutral and non-threatening in a city like Canto Bight.
Ever since leaving the slave pits of Askto Fen 4, his personal motto had been, "Hear nothing, see nothing, say nothing." It had kept him safe for decades. Now, it kept his daughter safe too.